So how did Jesus know when to act? How did he know when to act? You know, Jesus' ministry, his words, his actions, what he did, what he said, arose out of the connection between his sense of mission and purpose and the situation in the world's needs, the world's desires. But Jesus didn't always make that connection on his own. He didn't always make that connection right away. It's a funny thing to notice in the scripture that on a number of occasions, people have to go up and kind of poke at Jesus. People have to go up and kind of push on Jesus a little bit to get him to act. Now, the story that we just read, the story that Andrew just read for us about the wedding at Cana, is just a very intriguing example of just such an occasion. This story, you'll notice, comes at the very beginning of the second chapter of the Gospel of John. So at this point in the story, Jesus has already been baptized, talked about that last week, and already has that sort of that moment of initiation, that moment when his sense of his ministry came together for him. He's already been baptized, and he's already started calling his disciples. He's at this point called four of his disciples in the Gospel of John. And while he doesn't clearly state what his mission is to them, he clearly has it clear for himself, because they say to him, teacher, we'd like to study with you. And he says, aha, come, follow me, come and see what I'm going to do. And who I am and what my purpose is will be revealed as you follow along and watch and listen. Well, that first chapter of the Gospel of John creates a great sense of expectancy among the readers, among the listeners of this scripture, about what's going to happen in this second chapter. And you can imagine that the disciples had some sense of expectancy too. If you take the Gospel of John in sequence, the very first thing Jesus does after he calls his first disciples, the very first thing that he does is he takes them with him to a wedding. A wedding that lasts for a number of days. He takes them to a really big party. And you can imagine that the disciples were ready to see Jesus reveal his mission and purpose to them. But when the moment comes, when there's this disastrous shortage of wine, which is, in that culture and time, a significant lapse of hospitality that has important repercussions for the host and for everyone there, when that moment arrives, Jesus hesitates. He says, my hour has not yet come. The timing isn't right. No, this isn't the moment. I'm going to stand back. But Mary has her own sense of timing. And so Mary says to the servants there, do whatever he tells you to do. And you can just feel that sense of expectancy that she creates among everybody who's standing there watching. And it's almost like that sense of expectancy draws Jesus out, draws that miraculous action out of him. And he turns an enormous amount of water into an enormous amount of very good wine. Even Jesus, at times needed somebody to present the needs of the world to him, to push him to make a connection between his mission and purpose and the actual moment where he is standing, where he's acting, where he's living. Interesting. What about you? Have you ever struggled with that question of when to act? Have you ever found that the needs of the world push on you? Have you ever found somebody in particular pushing the needs of the world into your view and pushing you to act. Well, this week is, of course, the weekend where we celebrate, remember, lift up the legacy of Martin Luther King. And in the context of this week, when Bob and Al and I sat down to read the scripture, we read it in the context of thinking about this weekend, and we found ourselves wondering about King and about how it was that he decided to act. How it was that he knew when the time was right. How did he generate that sense that his mission and purpose had finally coincided with the needs of the world? Those of you who know something about the biography of King know that he really did develop a clear sense of purpose prior to arriving in Montgomery in 1955. I mean, he already had a sense of his calling as a Christian minister, and he had connected that calling to be a Christian with a call to promote justice in this country, especially racial and economic justice. So that call was there in him. But when he arrived in Montgomery and this beginning of this movement was starting, King didn't like jump to the fore right away. The other ministers in Montgomery, more established ministers, who had more to lose if they were out in front in the civil rights movement, kind of pushed King forward. They recognized his gifts. They recognized his skills. They recognized his integrity and the strength of his sense and purpose. But they also recognized that he might be willing to get pushed, and indeed he was. Now, that started the ball rolling, as you know, that Montgomery bus boycott in 1965. And when we talk about King, we often focus on what happened in the following 10 years, right, leading up to Selma in 1965. And that's, you know, the I Have a Dream speech is the speech we often focus on, talk to kids about, which I think was, 1963? And that's the period where we think of the civil rights movement having all of this momentum. And we sort of, when we talk about King and other leaders of the time, don't focus on as much on how they decided to act, about the struggle, the deliberation. But there was indeed struggle throughout that period. King talks in his biographies and his speeches about hesitancy, about wondering at various times whether the costs to him personally and the cost to his family were worth it for the various actions that